Our title of our message this morning is How to Live in a Sin-Filled World. I had the title saying How to Live in a Sin-Sick World. And I thought, well, it's sick, but it's filled too. And our text is from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 21. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these later last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. So your faith and hope are in God. Our world is polluted with sin. You may never think of that, do you? But it is. Our world is polluted with sin. We live in a sin-filled world, but as believers, we have a living hope. Our living hope is the revelation of Jesus Christ, the return of Christ. That is our living hope. This section of Scripture is on living in holiness and living with our focus on our living, resurrected Jesus Christ. Living with our focus on our resurrected Jesus Christ. Isn't that precious? In 1 John chapter 3, verse 3, it says this, and everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. When we fix our eyes on Jesus, we purify ourselves just as he is pure. It's talking about our spiritual eyes, fixing on Christ. We have the righteousness of Christ, as Christ alone is righteous. We have his righteousness and his holiness through faith in him. That is how the Father sees us, as being righteous and holy because of our faith in Jesus Christ. We have Christ's righteousness, not our own. A holy person is not an odd person, but a different person. Are you a different person? A holy person is different from their past life and different from unbelievers around them. A Christian's life of holiness seems strange to the unbeliever, to the lost. As 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 says, you are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. What makes us a child of God? By having faith in Jesus. Just like it says in John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. When we believe in the name of Jesus, we are a child of God. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 5, it says, who is one that overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you have overcome this world. You are a child of God. A Christian's life should not be strange to other believers unless they're not living holy lives. Although as Christians, we were of the world, and it's not easy to be of this world and to continue to live holy life, holy lives and holiness. The world is anti-God. And we should never forget that. Have you ever thought of that? As you go around your daily things and see people, that the world really is anti-God? It is. It is, isn't it, Ashley? It is. Peter is giving us commands in this text to help us to live holy lives, to help us to be different and to live in a polluted, sin-filled world. He begins with our first command. He says, be ready for action. Are you ready? Are you ready really to live as a Christian in this world? He says, be sober-minded, not from alcohol, but meaning we need to be in the Word of God. We need to let the Word of God turn us on. I want to share with you that when you are thinking, sometimes might be overwhelmed or just down a little bit, the quickest way to be picked up is to read God's Word. Or to recite it. You do that and God will pick you up. We need to let the Word of God turn us on. We need to have a serious attitude about studying the Word of God. Our first command is to fix our hope completely on the grace to be brought to us at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Isn't that precious? We're to fix our hope completely on the grace that is to be brought to us at the revelation of Jesus Christ. When does that revelation take place? At the rapture, when Jesus comes back. That's the day of Jesus Christ. We should be living in expectation of Jesus returning. Our thoughts and our actions should be based on His returning. Is Christ's returning governing your thoughts and actions? As you go about each day, you're out there, is Christ's returning governing your actions? When our thoughts are on the return of Christ, and we are living as though He could return at any time, we will be less likely to go back to our former sins. Our outlook will determine our outcome. If our thoughts are based on the fact that Christ is returning, we're going to have a much different attitude. Attitudes determine actions. We can get overwhelmed by this world. And those thoughts can determine our actions also. That's why our focus needs to be on Christ. A Christian who is looking for Christ's return has a greater motivation for obedience than a Christian who ignores His return. The fact that Christ is returning should encourage us. It should allow us to be calm and to be prepared. I think it's so precious that when we go around each day, we should be thinking, Christ could come back at any moment. Just what would you do? We walked outside today, all of a sudden Christ comes back. The dead in Christ rise, and we follow him. Wow. Wouldn't that be precious? We have been saved by God's grace, and we live moment by his grace. Looking for Christ to return will strengthen our faith and hope in times of trials. When we have trials come to us, if we're looking for Christ, it'll strengthen our hope and it'll strengthen our faith. Our second command in this text is to be holy in our behavior. Verse 16 says, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. It is written. We are to know what is written. We're to know what's in the Word of God. The Feast of Trumpets is the next feast to be fulfilled. The next great event on God's calendar. Throughout Scripture, Christ's coming again is described as being announced with the sound of trumpets. Do you know that? It says in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 18 this, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. When Jesus comes back, you will hear the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord from that time forward. Always. In 1 Corinthians 15:51 and 52, it also speaks of trumpets and the rapture of the church. Christ is coming again, and we should be expecting his return. We should be expecting his return. It is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. We are to be different from the world. Our children follow our examples. In fact, they inherit many of our characteristics. Did you know that? They do. So in other words, if we have some bad characteristics, they might follow those too. We want to correct those or watch what we do. We want to be holy, as it is written.